After witnessing his parents' murder on Christmas Eve by a carjacker dressed as Santa Claus, Billy is left to deal with his trauma and fear of Santa in an orphanage where the Mother Superior uses pain and punishment as treatment for his PTSD. Now, a teenager working in a local toy shop for the holidays, Billy is forced to dress up as the person who murdered his family and becomes the very thing that he feared the most. Dressed up as Jolly Saint Nick, he goes on a rampage, punishing those who are naughty, leaving a blood trail on the way to the one who added fuel to the fire. Today, we talk about the 1984 holiday slasher, Silent Night, Deadly Night. So you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, and he's punishing those who've been naughty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
And today we are talking about a holiday slasher classic, Silent Night, Deadly Night, probably one of my favorite holiday slashers. We're going to talk about the first one and then go into a little bit of the second one, not really too much on it.
There's not too much of the second one.
It's pretty much just the first recap. But dude, this movie had so much controversy behind it. It was protested against by parents, by people who didn't want Santa Claus to, you know, be a killer, even though there's a lot worse things they could have protested against in this movie. But they chose the Santa Claus, I guess, because of the kids. But if you're a kid, you're not sending your kid to watch a horror movie, I guess.
I don't know. Things were a lot more lax back in the 80s. So you had April Fool's Day. You had, you know, a significant amount of holiday-themed horror movies. And, you know, in their defense, obviously, Tales from the Crypt had done it before. That was in 72, I believe. And in 1980, Christmas Evil had come and done the same thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't new and groundbreaking. I think it just came at a time when there was a lot more attention paid to the situation at hand.
True. There was a lot more Christmas-themed movies coming out, and I guess to portray Santa as a killer, it wouldn't be very, very good for their kids. And I guess the spirit of Christmas, spreading more Christmas fear than Christmas cheer. And,
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, pretty much. Even though, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense, because the stuff that goes on in this movie, there's a lot more you could be mad at.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think the sacrilege would definitely, you know, make me a little bit more disturbed if I was looking for, you know, something.
True, especially back then.
Yeah, you know? I mean, because, you know, it was at the height of the Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
You know, 1984, you couldn't get Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
you
couldn't
listen to Ozzy Osbourne. You know, all this stuff. You had the Night Stalker running around California. You know, AC/DC. And, I mean, there was just all kinds of stuff going
on.
True,
yeah.
So I think that's kind of what caught up in the fervor that caused, obviously, you know, the persecution of this film.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie came out 1984, which came out at the same time as Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
And actually, this movie would have done probably better than Nightmare on Elm Street, because it was actually grossing like 160,000 more opening day. And of course, you know, with all the protests and stuff, unfortunately, they had to pull it from
the theaters. Yeah, they pulled it. And plus, it was only on the big screen for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So with that limited runtime, you think if it, you know, it could have been a contender.
Yeah, it probably would have been a contender. I mean, you know, compare the two, with what Nightmare had in it and what this movie had in it, I mean, yeah, like, you know, Freddy Krueger was a pedophile who killed people and then came back. This dude was like, this movie like showed everything brutal and gory.
Yeah, all the evils of mankind just there on the screen for you to visualize.
It showed like mental like health stuff going on with this dude.
Well, that's where they could have really taken it, is they could have taken the mental health aspect, but I don't think a lot of people looked at it that way.
Yeah.
That, you know, it was technically a PTSD, and the fact that, you know, he went to the orphanage, even though it wasn't, you know, obviously chosen. He went to the church to, you know, find solace and comfort in his time of need.
And unfortunately, I mean, reflecting kind of everything that was going on, I mean, a lot of those orphanages were just abusing, and probably still to this day, abusing these children. And unfortunately, I guess, you know, pain and punishment didn't really help them out a lot. So let's get started with this movie. They're going, Billy is very young. I guess he's four years old, going to visit his senile grandpa, who is dead silent. He's just kind of just has a blank stare in his face. So the dad and the mom are talking to him, and he doesn't respond because he's just, you know, he's out of it, or so we think. So they go to talk to the doctor, and they leave. For some reason, they leave Billy with the grandpa.
Grandfather,
I guess because they think, like, oh, he's not going
to
do anything.
Yeah, he's catatonic. He's not going to do anything to my child.
Yeah. But
go lo and behold.
He comes to, or not to, he just kind of, he's acting like he's catatonic. And he turns to Billy and starts saying, you know, that Christmas Eve is the worst time of the year because Santa goes out and he punishes all the naughty kids. And, you know, Billy says that he's been good, but has he really? And he's like, no, I'm not. I have not. There's been a couple times I've been naughty.
Yep.
He's going to punish you.
Yeah. Grandpa goes off on a tangent, man. Grandpa just scares the piss out of him.
Yeah. So he scares him with Santa Claus, like saying Santa Claus is going to come and punish him because he's been naughty once or twice. And he's going to, you know, put the boot in his ass pretty much. So this sets a fear in Billy that he didn't have before. He was so excited to see Santa, and he was so excited reading, you know, The Night Before Christmas and all that in the car on the way to see Grandpa, and now he's just like, we don't have to see Santa. Santa's not a thing this year.
No, he's still kind of, you know, he's still kind of interested in seeing Santa because now he's got this, you know, fear.
True, yeah.
So when they're actually going home from visiting crazy Grandpa, he's almost nervous and fervent about the time of, hey, when does Santa come? Because we've got to be home.
Yeah, we got to be knocked out.
Yeah, we got to be like, you know, we got to be good kids or we're not, you know, we're getting the, you know, the boot.
Yeah. And so while this is happening, while they're on their way home, we cut to a convenience store. And, you know, like a guy dressed up as Santa Claus goes in there and he sticks the dude up. He, you know, they talk, you know, for a little bit. And he's like, he sticks the guy up and the dude slowly reaches for his gun, like slowly pulls it out and aims it at him.
But Santa's quick on the draw.
Santa's quicker, man. Santa got him. He two shots to the chest, but he's not dead. The dude's not dead. He robs the cash register. The guy tries to shoot him back. Unfortunately, he gets shot in the head, which, by the way, was done really, really good. Because, you know, when you get shot, like bullet holes, they don't like.
It's not this big, huge splatter. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure it is if you're using a higher caliber bullet, like a
he was using
44
like,
or something. Yeah. But, you know, most robberies don't go down with a 50 cal.
you're not bringing a
Desert Eagle to, you know, to the Quick Trip. So,
but yeah, that was done really well, man. The effects in this movie, even though, people, you know, it is cheesy, obviously, in its own way. But it was actually done really, really well, all the effects in it, man. And so he goes and $31 is what he killed the dude for.
He lets you know, and that's kind of like what got coined on this film was, you know, 31 MFing bucks. Like,
Come on.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, obviously, you know, with Santa not, you know, not happy with the crime, obviously, 31 bucks was a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Even though you still got to, you know, smoke the store clerk. So.
Yeah.
He goes out, you know, and now it's time to get a car. You know, he's got to get the car. Yeah. So.
Or he could have just been trying to stick somebody else up. You know, just try to jack their car and get away. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're driving home, and pretty much Billy is telling, like, you know, when's Santa gonna get, you know, home? Like, we don't have to, like, you know, stay up and see him, and pretty much telling him that, you know, Grandpa told him that Santa was gonna punish him for being naughty, and. On the road is old St. Nick right
old,
there.
Old St. Nick's car's broke down with his 31 bucks worth of petrol or whatever the hell he bought. You know, a couple bags of Flamin' Hot Takis. He's, you know, he's out there on the side of the road. I don't know if the car really broke down or if it was just a ruse.
Yeah, he's probably just a ruse. Yeah,
so that, you know, that somebody would stop and try and help him and he can continue his, you know, night of debauchery.
Yeah, his sleigh ran out of gas, so he, you know, the reindeer gave up on him.
Yeah.
So his parents are excited. Billy's parents are like, oh, look, maybe he gets to see
Santa. Here's Santa.
And instead, he gets probably the worst Christmas Eve ever. And Santa sticks them up, but the mom's like, no, take off. Like, go. When he reverses, and unfortunately, you know, Santa, good shot, by the way. He's an amazing shot. He kills the dad, and then he goes and he assaults the mom in the worst possible way.
Yeah, he rapes mom right there in the middle of the road. Yeah.
Or he just beats her. He just, first he sexually assaults her. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he, you know. Yeah, because you never really see, like, anything happen. Yeah, but,
Billy, he books it. By the way, his brother is also in the car.
Yeah, his brother's his baby, though. Brother can't do anything. He's just caught in the car seat.
And Christmas jingles are playing on the radio. But he runs off. Billy runs off into the, you know, to the shrubbery that's next right there. And, he watches Santa just
He doesn't run. He just, literally just gets out of the way and then just watches everything unfold.
Yeah, he just leaves. And watches his mom pretty much get assaulted by Santa, get beaten, and get her throat cut. And Santa's trying to look for, even though he's just right there, he tries to look for Billy. And he leaves him out there, and then we cut to, finally, the orphanage, where Billy gets to spend his wonderful days as a young child, as a
youth at the orphanage, you know.
Because that's where you want to go, you know. Oh, this is where it gets... So messed up, man. So, of course, he has PTSD from seeing his parents get murdered, from seeing pretty much Santa. You ruined Santa for him, pretty much. Like, at this point, if you know this kid is jacked up in the head because of what he witnessed, why are you going to try to kind of force...
Yeah, you're kind of going to shield him from the holiday itself.
Yeah, or you kind of just, like, reassure him, like, hey, it wasn't Santa. Like, it was a guy dressed up as Santa who...
Did bad things.
And... To credit, you know, Sister Margaret, she was trying to at least help him, try to love him and mother him pretty much. But Mother Superior had different plans, you know, like coddling is not going to do any good. Like, you need to
punish.
The whip is the only thing he will understand pretty much. And, you know, Sister Margaret tries to be like the person that he needs, the mother he needs. But Mother Superior is punishment and pain is what's going to teach him. To stop, you know, acting out, you know, to stop being a spoiled child, you know, quote unquote, to stop being, you know, stop being like that. But she pretty much just like fights fire with fire, pretty much, like fuels it, because you can't use violence to, you know, help the violence he saw, you know, like, so she just pretty much like every time that she like. Hits him with the bell or punishes him. It's just pretty much just.
He's reliving everything. He's having these flashbacks in his head of, you know, the horrors that have befallen him. So.
Yeah. He draws a picture of what it was like Santa cutting.
Yeah. All the kids freak out. But, you know, then you realize that that's, you know, those are things that he saw.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what he witnessed.
He saw his mom like, you know, have her throat cut. So.
So yeah. Sister Margaret brings it to Mother Superior's attention and. You know, she's like, Sister Margaret's pretty much telling him, like, hey, like, this is, like, he's messed up in the head. He needs real help. He doesn't need, like...
He doesn't need more, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child stuff. He's had enough of that, so...
And so, but she's like, no, like, my methods will work. Like, this is how it's going to go down. Like, they've always worked. Can't you see these kids are listening, even though they're probably just scared?
Yeah, they probably think they're going to get, like, you know, punished or, you know, get spanked on, so... Yeah.
So... Time goes on and gets closer to Christmas, and, you know, he's being punished for the drawing, you know, that he did. He has to stay in his room while the other kids get to go play out in the snow. But Mother, you know, Sister Margaret, you know, feels bad for him, so she tells him, no, let's go outside. Like, you're not going to get, like, let's go. Instead of, like, walking him out, she leaves him to get his coat and, you know, pretty much just go outside by himself. On his way out, he hears a commotion going on in the room at the end of the hallway. So, being a curious kid, you know, he goes to check it out and looks through the keyhole. And lo and behold, there's another nun in there getting freaky with, I guess,
I don't know if he was a custodian or what. I mean, it's never really explained what he was.
But they're doing the naughty in there, man. And that's not good. That's not good, all right? So he's peeking through the hole, and he's pretty much replaying kind of what he saw. So what he's seeing is kind of, you know, what he saw happen to his mom. And Mother Superior sees him, you know, what's this kid staring at? So he goes in. She goes and opens the door, and lo and behold.
Busted.
Everybody. The only thing that didn't get busted was him. So she pretty much, you know, lashes them. You know, he gets her, gets his belt, the guy's belt from his jeans, and starts
wailing on everyone. Yeah, and just.
Now, that's a big no-no. Now, she should get punished now, because that can be a kink from one of them. You know, come on now, Mother Superior. Are you adding more fuel to this fire?
She's Mother Superior. She doesn't know that much about kink. You know, she's
Mother Dominatrix.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
So she pretty much whips the nun in there and the guy that...
She unleashes on everyone. Everybody gets an ass whipping by this dude's belt. She just goes like loose nut and just starts whipping the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, she's just... Yeah. So, of course, Billy goes outside and acts like nothing happened. And Mother Superior confronts him and says, you know, what did you see?
Yeah, what did you see? Like,
he's like, nothing. I didn't see nothing.
How'd that make you feel?
Dirty. So, yeah, she's like, you know, what they were doing was naughty. Like, you're not supposed to do that. Like, you know, when you're naughty, you get punished. And, you know, punishment, you know, is necessary. Punishment is good. It's absolute. It's good. So pretty much it's like nailing it into him. Like, hey, you're going to get punished if you do anything naughty. So he, you know, but, you know, he's out of his room. He wasn't allowed to be out. Even though Sister Margaret is the one who...
Who ushered him to leave.
She didn't even step in for him. She's just like, you got to get punished.
She doesn't want to get smacked around with that belt. She just saw the hillbilly beatdown with the belt, man.
She did.
Yeah, I mean, you see what happened to the other nun.
Dude. Get beat too? Yeah.
She got beat down, all bare-chested, all smacked the nips in her. Man, you don't want to go for that, bro.
So she's like, Billy can take it.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Exactly.
He's seen worse.
He's tough. You know what he saw happen to his mama? He all right. He's going to be okay.
So, yeah, she punishes Billy. And pretty much Billy is traumatized. Obviously, he's severely traumatized that he has night terrors. And he pretty much – he just relives it every night, the scene that he saw. And one night he actually tries to leave because he gets scared. So he tries to leave down the stairs, and Mother Superior is right there.
Once again.
She's there.
Naughty.
Speak of the devil. And so she, instead of just being like, what happened, like trying to get this kid actual help.
You don't want common ground, bro. See, you're coming at things from you're coming like almost like a psychologist. You're coming from the stand. This woman is not trying to save nobody.
No.
She's just trying to...
She's trying to be superior
She's That's trying it. To live up to her title, you know. She's got to, smack people around and do this kind of stuff. And that's, that's the way she... It's all, there's no nurturing to this.
Yeah, there's no nurturing,
Not trying to figure out why you're trying to do it. You're just trying to come down the stairs.
Yeah.
And that just obviously means that you're doing something bad. You're going to be naughty.
Yeah.
So it, you know.
And what sucks is, it's a movie, but, if stuff like this was actually happening, man.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Many documentaries and stuff that's documented that, you know, these orphanages, not just orphanages, but, asylums, stuff like that was going down. Like, worse than this, probably. But so she ties him to the bed. Instead of, trying to help him out, ties him to the bed. Sister Margaret wants to intervene, but.
Now she wants to step in.
Yeah, now she wants to, after the beatings are done.
Yeah,
now.
After he's, been outside, got whipped up on, now, 2 days later, he's having a night terror. You want to kind of help him out.
But it's too late at that point. And Mother Superior's like, leave him. Like, you're not going to touch him. Like, he's going to be tied up and try to fall asleep like that. I don't know. So, finally, it's pretty much Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And Santa's coming, So this is Mother Superior's way of showing Sister Margaret that this boy is going to listen. Her methods have worked. he's going to sit in Santa's lap and be a good boy because nothing, nothing's happened to him that's made him fear Santa more.
He's going to overcome that obstacle in his life of being terrified of a man in a red suit.
Okay, this shows what kind of, without trying to be rude, but it shows what kind of a piece of crap she is. Because when the kids are opening their presents, like all the orphans are opening their presents. Mind you, they don't have families. These kids don't have families. They don't have, you know, people to give them presents besides these.
These donated gifts that the community has given the orphanage, you know.
And she's like, she makes a comment that she gets all pissed off. She's like, I see nothing but greed instead of gratitude. And it's like, well, yeah, dude, they're kids. They love getting gifts. Like,
they probably don't get anything all year.
Besides the belts is all they get.
Yeah, they probably just get that, you know, like they get that all year. They don't get any presents. Then she's being like anal retentive about it too. Like, fold the paper. And you're going to write a note.
Santa and thank him. And
like, I want to see all this paper folded. It's like, really? But yeah, I mean, she's a piece of garbage. That's really what she was.
She's human garbage.
Yep. And so, like, let's sit him on the lap. You know, let's sit him on Santa's lap. Because
what's the worst that can happen?
She was probably also using him as an example because he's probably the one who has the most, I would say the most dominant case of mental illness.
Yeah.
So she uses him as an example because it's like, okay, well, we're going to go through and we're going to make him overcome this challenge.
Yeah. And instead of like explaining to him like, hey, Billy, the person that killed your parents wasn't really Santa Claus. It was a guy dressed up as him. I'm going to tell you logic. And of course, you're not going to understand fully because you're still a kid, but hopefully we can try to make you work through this. No, let's just sit you on this dude's lap that you think killed your parents.
Yeah, well, it's just like, you know, the parent who throws their child in the lake. We're going to teach him how to swim. Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, he's sitting on, you know, I mean, it's a little aggressive in that standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, there's tons of kids who learned how to swim that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's tons of kids who got thrown in the lake and, you know, sink or swim.
Yeah, but the lake didn't murder their families.
You know, tomato, tomato.
There's a difference, though.
There's a little difference. I mean, yeah. So your parents drowned.
unless that happened.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, yes, maybe that would be the wrong way to do it. Unless they saw their parents drown in the same lake.
And that's, you know, I think that's how she looks at it. She's looking at it like, you know, throw them in, you know.
Yeah.
Let them sink or swim. And he's
drowning.
He's flipping around. And that's where, you know, that's where her reasoning comes from. If there was any reasoning to begin with.
There wasn't any. There really wasn't. So, of course, Billy reacts.
Oh, a flux of, you know, all the flashbacks come forward and all the bad stuff that happened. And
he gives a good left hook to the Santa Claus and busts his nose and he takes off and hides in his room because he knows he's going to get punished for hitting Santa. But he's just reaction, like, you know, what was he supposed to do? Like, this is the dude that killed my parents. Like,
yeah. In my head, that dude did bad things, and that's what's going to happen. So,
but of course, she goes up there and she just probably just wails on him.
She probably found the belt that she had from when she was smacking on him from before, smacking on naked nuns and stuff. She coming back with all that anger and vengeance.
So she's just probably mad because she couldn't get some. That's what it was, man. She was
dude,
jealous.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like stepping in. And I mean, like, don't get me wrong, but didn't you take a vow of celibacy? I mean, throughout both these movies, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of nun lust. I mean, it is what it is, but, you know.
this poor kid, man. So, now it pretty much flashes forward. So, like, probably there's a ton of, like, beatings that went on. But now he's
older. Now that he's older, he's a teenager. You know.
And he has to go get a job because now he's 18. And
so, of course, they're going to put him to work because, you know. No one lives for free at the orphanage. So they get him a job at Ira's toy shop. Yeah.
And Sister Margaret actually helps him get a job, and he works the stock room pretty much. And there's this just montage, this 80s montage, Golden Girls type montage of just, you know, him, you know, being handy, you know, he's the big buff dude there, so he's helping everybody. Flirting with the cashier, you know, he's the innocent stockroom boy. but it goes on for way too fucking long.
Yeah, but you're getting this feel that, like, oh, he's completely normalized now. Like, he's not going to have this
issue.
You know, it shows, like, how normal he is. He's fitting into modern society. He has a job. He's a hard-working young man.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's little Susie. He and Susie get along. Look, they're batting eyes at each other. Like, they they go into it, and I think that's why they took a long time.
He has a
time.
Good relationship with the owner.
The boss,
The boss, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good worker. I mean, he's you know, Joe America.
And everybody loves him except for Andy.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much... Andy, okay, so he catches him, like, you know, staring at Pamela, which is the cashier's name. And he gets mad at him, like, you know, what are you doing that for? Just cussing at him, talking down on him. And he's like a reject from Goodfellas. Like,
yeah, he's, like, yeah. Gobbledygoo, you know, yeah. Like, why you looking over there with that broad?
Yeah.
Which
they're in Utah, which doesn't make sense why he has a
he's like an he's like, you know, I think he was in the witness relocation program. Because, like, there's these accents that come up in this movie as you watch it. And it's, you know... It's not rural Utah, you know, feeling accent. It's, you know, New York City.
Yeah.
And I think that comes along with, you know, maybe the director or, you know, some of the people that he cast.
Yeah, it could be that. But yeah, he has like a hard, like not hard, but he has like, you could tell he's like, okay, this dude
is but not even his me. Mannerisms, you know, he's
true,
got like the,
yeah.
he's got the flipped up polo shirt.
Yeah.
The pseudo like wave pompadour thing going on.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, he's not from there. He ain't from there. So, yeah, he's pretty much, like, talking down on him, and they're going at him and, you know, him and freaking Frankie Valli,
yeah. He's busting his chops, you know? So.
Oh!
Hey! You're looking at my lady!
So, he gets mad, yeah, because that's what's going on. Billy's looking at his chick, pretty much, and that's a no-no. So he kind of puts him in his place, I guess. But... what happens is he goes out and to the floor, and unfortunately there is a Santa there, you know, help, you know, doing the, you know, what you like, a mall Santa, pretty much, you know, bring your kids, sit on Santa's lap, tell him what you
want. Yeah, he's at a toy store. So.
Yeah. So unfortunately that like sends him into like, oh no, like it's all coming back now, like everything that's happened.
Yeah, he's realizing Christmas is just around the corner, and this is like, you know, this is just a, you know, a segue into what's to come.
Yeah.
So
he has to like take five, and Pamela is like, hey, you know, go, you know, because he stumbles over some like toys and stuff like that, but she's like, no, go like take a break, like I'll fix this up for you. But on his break, he's fantasizing about Pamela and that, you know, it's going to be him and her in the one of the bedrooms at the orphanage.
Yeah.
And, yes. But unfortunately, like, that Santa comes back and stabs him right in the ass or something like that. Which, by the way, this shot, okay, there's a lot of nudity in this movie. And they really focus on him and his bare butt.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheeky moments.
Pretty much. But... you know, in his fantasy, you know, that Santa comes out of nowhere and, oh, no, he's dreaming is what it is. He's dreaming about him and Pamela, and unfortunately, Santa comes out of nowhere and stabs him in the back, and, you know, he wakes up and then, you know, from another night terror, and he goes back into this mode of, like, I don't want to be punished, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, now he's thinking about Pamela in a sexual way.
Yeah, and that's probably
and,
what
know,
it is, yeah.
19 minutes of bare Santa ass.
So yeah, he can't be thinking about that stuff.
It's all sexual. It's all, you know.
Yeah,
it's the seven deadly sins. It's the lust.
Yeah, and that's why he gets stabbed by Santa in his dream.
Yeah.
So at the back of the toy shop, you know, someone, you know, the Santa hurt his ankle on a ski trip or something happened. What happened to him? He was skiing or sledding or something, and he broke his ankle, so he can't be Santa anymore. So the boss is like, "Oh, I got an idea. There's a big dude in the back.
Yeah, exceptionally healthy young man who's always helpful and nice and considerate. Let's go, you know, let's go tell Billy that he's going to be, you know, see if he would want to be Santa.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
So they dress him up as Santa Claus, and he's just staring in the mirror, and they're like, oh, you know, you look jolly, you look really good. And he's just like, traumatized.
Yeah, he's because now he's become, you know, he's become that which he feared. He's become
He's dressed up as the
devil incarnate. Yeah. That's what he is. So
yeah, so he's pretty much, you know, he's not really good at it. But the moms are like, oh, this guy's great. Like, he's good with kids, even though he's telling the little girl, he's like, you gotta, don't be naughty.
Yeah, don't be naughty. Like, using his little catchphrases, yeah. You know?
You know what Santa does to naughty children?
Doing his grandpa to the kids. Yeah, pretty much he's doing that. Just traumatizing the hell out of the kids.
So, he does that all day. Finally, the store closes. You know, it's now pretty much probably Christmas Day now. It's probably midnight. And it's time to get shit-faced, as the owner or as the boss says.
Yeah.
So they drink after hours.
Yeah, I mean, they've got like, I mean...
Scotch. They're drinking scotch.
They're drinking all kinds of stuff, man. That was like the liquor store in there. It was...
Yeah, dude. It was funny because they just bring it from the cash
register. Yeah, and there's like five or six people there. Yeah. And they're like, oh, man, like, we're totally getting lit. And it's like... Yeah. Don't y'all have any families? Like, what y'all do? It's It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, unless I mean that's just their family.
I guess that's it.
A close knit crew, and they drink after hours. Even though Andy was probably drinking before,
I think Andy was doing all kinds of stuff before everything started happening. So. Yeah.
Oh, and then before that, Sister Margaret calls to check up on Billy, and Andy tells him, "Oh no, he's Santa Claus now. He's dressed up as Santa Claus up front with the kids.
Yeah, he's not in the stock room.
And she realizes, like, oh no, like...
Like, he's got issues with that.
Yeah, so I gotta go to the store. But right now they're getting all, you know, crunk at the toy shop. They're having a few, they're drinking, singing songs. And Andy, you know, he's feeling kind of good. It's time for him and Pamela to go in the back and, you know, shag it out. And Billy, of course, you know, he's heartbroken because, you know, he likes her, but... Pamela wants Andy for some reason.
I don't think she even wants Andy. She didn't want Andy. That's another thing about the like these movies is like it seems like women are just kind of they have no thought process.
Yeah, it's like
I don't want to be with you, Billy. I don't want to be with you, Andy. Come on over there, toots. And it's like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah, I have to go.
Yeah, they're making out in the back room.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, like, I don't want to. And pretty much he's like, well, either you're going to give it to me or I'm going to take it. And pretty much, like, manhandles her. Now, Billy goes to the back to, you know, make sure everything's okay. Oh, no, because... Him and the boss talk, and he's like, well, you know what Santa does on Christmas, you know? Because he's like, hey, Santa, don't you got to... I'm joking around with him. Like, hey, Santa, don't you got to be somewhere? Because he's still up in the ghetto. Even though he could have changed out of it. But he's like, oh, you know what Santa does on Christmas? Talking about delivering presents, but in Billy's head, he's like, oh, he punishes the naughty is what he does on Christmas.
So he's going to go find the naughty.
Yeah.
So, and what's more naughty than Andy and Pamela in the background?
Exactly, right? So he sees this going on. She's starting to get assaulted. Rips her blouse open and exposes her pretty much. And he gets on top of her and he's like, you know, I'm taking it. And Billy, this sets off, you know, his, you know, PTSD. Now he's having flashbacks again of what happened. But instead of like being scared, now he turns since he's wearing the Santa hat.
Now he has the power. Now he is the avenging force. Now,
yeah, he is the punishment. So he goes over there and picks him up with one hand and chokes him with Christmas lights and hangs him. And Pamela, instead of being very grateful that this dude stopped the person
or running because you don't try. I mean, you see this dude you were just like basically schnoodling with. And you're like, oh no, never mind.
Well, he was kind of being the predator. She was like, no, get off me. And then he starts like attacking her.
Yeah.
And Billy's like, you know, he kills him. Yeah. And that's a bad, you know, thing. But instead of being like, you know, thank you for that. But like, you didn't have to kill him.
Yeah. You could have just messed him up a little.
Pretty much. But she's like, you're crazy. I hate you. You're crazy. And that like. He's just like, no, punishment is necessary. It's good. And he stabs her in the stomach with a box cutter and that kills her. I don't know how he just kind of cuts her open, but she's dead.
Hidden artery.
Yeah.
Definitely hidden artery.
So the boss up front, he, you know, he's drinking with the other assistant, I guess.
Yeah, she's like the bookkeeper or something. Bookkeeper, I don't know what she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, I think I hear something. And she's like, no, I don't. You're drunk. You're like, you're not hearing things. And he's like, no, I hear something back there. So he goes to check what the commotion is. He can't hear the bells on Billy's
outfit.
Santa Claus outfit. But he's like, no, I'm drunk. I'm just hearing stuff. And right when he turns around, he gets a hammer to the head.
Naughty.
Yeah, because he wasn't. I don't know what he did, though. He wasn't really naughty. Drinking, maybe?
I don't know if it was drinking or if he was maybe perhaps just a whole relation between him and the bookkeeper. They don't really explain, you know, a lot of what goes on after that, but.
He just, I guess he deserved it.
Either that or he just had a psychotic snap and he just embodied the figure so much, just like the original Santa. He didn't have to have a reason for killing Billy's parents.
Yeah.
He just killed
them. Hell, he killed the cashier for $31.
Yeah.
Lousy
31 bucks.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he kills the owner or the boss, and then he goes after
the bookkeeper.
The bookkeeper. And she pretty almost gets away. She really does. She hides behind a couple of boxes, and puts her hat on one of the boxes and makes it look like she's actually.
Yeah, she's behind there. Yeah.
And so he's going to swing at her after he's, you know, kind of, what is he, recanting Night Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And he goes to swat at it, but it's not her. And she comes out from behind the box and knocks him over, knocks the axe out of his hand that he has. And takes it, and she almost makes it. Why she didn't swing on the... Because she's swinging at the glass door.
Yeah.
Or she's going to. And she stops, and she's like, no, let me just swing at the glass window. And he pulls out a bow. I don't know where he gets it from, but he gets a bow. Probably one of the toy
boxes. Yeah, it was probably like a toy kit or something, like a kid's bow and arrow.
How was that a kid's toy?
Bro.
It's like a full-on compound bow.
It was the 80s. We had all kinds of stuff. Let me tell you, I had a bow and arrow when I was a kid. Got it at like some roadside attraction.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little bow and arrow kit. You had all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, you got BB guns.
Oh yeah, I got it.
We had all that stuff.
Yeah, we had BB guns. You had airsoft guns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was like a strong bow.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it was a little bit upgraded than your standard toy store bow and arrow.
But he gets her. Before she could break the glass, he kills her with the bow and arrow. And yeah, now it's time for him to go and find all the naughty kids that are out there. But right when he leaves, that's when Sister Margaret shows up, unfortunately, a little too late, and realizes, you know.
What happened? The psychotic snap, and he is now on the loose.
He's on the loose. The caboose is loose. So we cut to pretty much carolers. You know, singing in front of a house, but behind the house behind them, there's naughty going on in there. And no one knows how to make out in like a bedroom, like an actual proper bedroom.
No.
He's making out on a pool table.
Yeah, just wherever you are. I mean, just, you know, whatever feels right.
And, you know, they're making out, and the girl, her sister, is upstairs because she's smaller, and she's like, oh, I'm going to come down because I'm not sleepy. Like, but she's like, no, like, Santa won't come if you don't fall asleep. Like, You gotta go to bed or Santa won't come. And, you know, they go back at it again. And first of all, they're making out. And you can hear the carolers still outside. And he's like, oh, I can't focus.
Yeah.
So let me put on Huey Lewis in the news.
Yes. The power of love.
the Christmas edition of Huey Lewis in the news. I don't know if it actually was. It
just sounded like it was not Huey Lewis.
But
don't sue us.
just sounded like him. But he turns that on and it's like, oh, this is what does it for me. Like Christmas music of, you know, that Huey and everybody else doing it. And so they start going back at it, but there's bells going on upstairs, and she's like, oh, the cat needs to be let in. Now I have a cat. I've never let it out. Like, unless it was like an outdoor cat, it stayed outdoors. But this cat goes out to take a piss and needs to come back in.
I've had cats like that before when I was younger. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We just left it outside. Like, it's an outside cat now.
Yeah. We've had ones that, like, came inside and then, like, went outside to, like, do their business. Or, like, play during the day. And then they come home. They get on the porch at night. I mean, it used to be a thing. But, I mean, that cat would have to have some big old bells around its neck to be making that much noise. Because it's loud.
It did. It did have bells on its neck.
It did, but they were like tiny little bells. They weren't like the church bells from the Hunchback of Notre Dame or something.
Yeah, because those bells were loud. They were
like, bang, dang, dang, dang. And like, yeah.
So she goes up there. Mind you, she's obviously she's naked up top. She has her underwear.
She has Daisy Dukes on.
Well, here's the thing. Dukes? Well, she has her underwear on, and then she puts her Daisy Dukes on.
Yeah, you've got to.
But she doesn't put a top on.
Why would you?
Why make the effort to put the shorts back on?
Hey.
I'm just going to go upstairs.
It's 1984. I can't be seeing that, you know.
I don't want to see down there.
I don't want to see the cow if I'm getting the milk for free.
My God, the choir's out there. You're really going to show me?
There's kids outside the window.
Put on some shorts.
Yeah. Put on some Daisy Dukes that were no less revealing than the panties that you were just wearing.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But she goes up there, and she lets the cat in. And right when the cat comes in.
Look what the cat brought in.
Yeah. Santa Claus comes right through the door.
Santa's right. And you've been naughty.
And, yep, you've been naughty. I heard it. I felt it. I seen it.
I sensed it.
So, he roughs her up and picks her up, and he just keeps repeating naughty and punish. And there, for some reason, this family has a giant deer head mounted on the wall.
10-point buck.
10-point buck, but those antlers are huge. Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens.
and it's not a moose, by the way. It's an actual deer. And he sticks her on there, man. And missed opportunity for a good one-liner, man. He could have mounted her on there and could have said nice rack or whatever.
Yeah, could have. I mean,
that's a miss. That's a, you know, because she's topless and he mounts her
but
on
he's
there.
He's not a joking killer, Santa. That's true. Not, okay. You know,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's
the first true. One, the 31 buck guy, he had one liners, you know?
Yeah.
31 freaking bucks, you know? He had the one liners.
Yeah, this kid.
You know, Billy hasn't gotten that far yet, man. He's got, you know, he's still, you know, he's not at the Apollo level of his comedy.
He's still having his breakdown. Yeah, he's still, you know. So, for some reason, Tommy, which is the boyfriend, doesn't hear what's going on.
Because he's only hearing Huey Lewis Dewey Lewis.
Yeah, he's not hearing actual Huey Lewis. This is like a knockoff. This is like a cover band of Huey Lewis.
Dewey Lewis and the Blues.
Exactly. Yes.
There you go.
So he's like, whoa, you know, where's she at? Where's, you know, she better not be playing a prank on me. So she goes up. He goes upstairs to check on her and finds her, you know.
Mounted
on the rack. And he goes to call, you know, 911, but unfortunately Billy gets them. They go into a fight, and of course Billy wins, throws him out the window, and he gets impaled by a giant shard of glass, which was done really cool. That was really cool.
Yeah, some of the effects are like really good. Like it's just kind of sad that they were kind of used in this film before. Like because they don't really like. I think if they would have gone through and actually shown like.
If it would have been
impalement or something.
Oh, yeah.
But they just, like, it's like an after the fact.
Yeah, like, oh, by the way, he got impaled.
Yeah, oh, he's not going to be in the movie anymore because he's on a piece of glass in the front yard.
Yeah. So Billy is on his way out because he's finally punished the naughty. And the little sister comes out and is like, oh, Santa, like, he's like, well, have you been good this year? And she's like, yeah. Have you? And she's like, yeah, Santa, I've been.
Take my word for it. Where's my stuff?
And you think he's going to stab her with the box cutter that he pulls out of his pocket very slowly. But he doesn't. That's her gift.
Yeah,
a box cutter.
The box cutter.
Now you can go punish those that have been naughty.
She now works at Home Depot. She's in therapy herself. Her name's Yolanda.
Yeah, because she she's most likely found her sister and the...
I mean, obviously, your sister, like...
True.
Every year in deer hunting season, she loses her...
That's it. And that's how Bambi started.
Her nose starts to bleed, and she pees her pants. She can't take it. Low-cut denim and horns throw her off.
She can't watch the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer
Not at
movies
all.
Anymore.
Not at all. Anything claymation, she's done for. Oh, don't let me even get into the whole Huey Lewis drama. Oh, man. Pardon me, Dewey Lewis.
Oh, dude, Back to the Future was horrible for her then.
It was.
It was terrible for her. Back on track, sorry. So now he's on his way to Mother Superior. He's on his way to the orphanage because that's who he
that's
wants.
The end game. That's yeah. that's that.
In she his, is Thanos.
Yeah,
she is
absolutely. If he can wipe her out, then he'll all be, will be well in the world.
Yeah. So he's on his way to her. Now we get introduced to these two little kids that are, or not little kids, they're teenagers. They're gonna go sled on this hill, and you know they make a couple teenage jokes. He's like, "Oh, virgin snow, man," or no, virgin hill, whatever.
And yeah.
He's like, oh, that's
you wouldn't know nothing about that.
No, that's all you're gonna get or whatever. And he's like, no. He goes, well, let me show you how cool like my sled is, whatever. But these two bullies come out, you know, I guess they were waiting there for them, and bully them to give up their sleds, like you know. So they take them and they go and they shine light down the hill, and first guy makes it. And then the second guy's like, oh, you think that's cool? Well, watch this. And he goes down there, which even though he just did the same thing the first guy did.
Yeah.
Except, you know.
Billy's here.
Billy's now. There now. And this is probably one of the best kill scenes in this movie. So he's sledding down the hill. Billy comes out, punish. And he swipes the axe and cuts his head off. And it comes tumbling, not tumbling down. He slides all the way down on the sled perfectly still. Yeah. And then his head rolls after him. And scares his friend, obviously, horrifies him. And, yeah, and pretty much, yeah, he punishes them. Sister Margaret's still back at the, you know, at the...
In the city, like...
Police station,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, she's looking for Billy. Where is he gone?
Yeah, so. And they're trying to look for him. And so he's like, well, let me send out, you know, my unit to find Santa Claus, pretty much. So the two cops... go looking for Santa Claus, and they're making a joke like, oh, God, it's Christmas Eve, and we got to go bring Santa Claus in, or Christmas Day, and we got to bring Santa Claus in. And they find a Santa going
Santa
in.
Claus climbing up a ladder to get into a second-story window.
Yeah, and, that know. Doesn't look fishy at all.
No.
So they just break into the house. They don't even... It's an emergency lady. Like, let us in. So they just go bypass the woman who lives there. Go upstairs, and it's actually a father trying to surprise his
daughter. Yeah.
What would have made it not funny? What would have made it crazier if they would have like lit him up?
Oh yeah.
But no, it was they ruined the surprise pretty much of, you know, they ruined this girl's another kid just getting ruined.
Exactly. Off to the orphanage with you next year.
Yeah. So finally it's like morning. And they, you know, one of the cops is at the orphanage or on the way to the orphanage, and they're telling him, like, shoot to kill. Like, this guy is, like, he's killing a lot of people. Like, if you see him, they don't, like, specify,
yeah,
like, hey.
No warning shots. Like, basically, this guy is, yeah, he's
not
lost
make
it.
Sure it's him and then kill him. Like, no, just any Santa just kills
him. Yeah, anybody in a Santa suit that you see, you know, just smoke him.
So they pull up. He pulls up to the orphanage, and there is a Santa Claus approaching the kids that are playing outside. And he tells them to stop. Santa doesn't stop, and right when it's reaching out Ricky's hand, which is his brother, who's there,
his little brother, who's grown up,
and they're about to, you know, touch hands. He lights up into a crowd of children,
like you do. I mean, there's, you know.
And he shoots Santa three times in the back.
Hey, you want to make him. An omelet, you got to break some eggs, bro.
Yeah, you just shoot. And the nun is just like, kids, come away from there.
Yeah, she acts like that type of thing happens all the time. Like, she's
dude, she's getting beat by Mother Superior. You think Santa being shot in the front yard is going to set her off?
It's all nonchalant here at, you know, Shady Oaks Orphanage.
Yeah, dude, He mows down Santa Claus.
Santa is smoked. He's dusted out in the front yard. His little brother's still trying to get the gift out of his old crinkled hand.
Yeah, Mother Superior's going to go out there and beat him. Okay, she's wheelchair bound now. Now she's wheelchair bound. But they go and you know, they're like, oh, Santa's down. Like, that's it. Like, he's done. And the chief and Sister Margaret were on the way to the orphanage, and they get the call that, you know, he's dead. But it's not the right guy. It's actually Father O'Brien, who was playing Santa this year, and he was deaf, and that's why he couldn't
He couldn't respond to the police, police's orders.
So he killed the priest.
He was naughty.
Let's be honest. He probably saved those kids.
Probably did.
Father O'Brien was probably doing worse than Mother Superior.
It's very possible.
Sorry. There's good Catholic priests out there. I understand that. But they have a bad record, unfortunately.
It happens.
So anyway, so they pick up, throw him in the meat wagon and take him. And, you know, this cop is like, hey, tell Mother Superior, like, hey, I'm so sorry about what happened, but, you know, she's like, how did you mistake him for a killer? Like, he was in a Santa outfit.
I was looking at his back. Like,
yeah. And not only that, like, dude, they're looking for a killer who's dressed up as Santa Claus. But Mother Superior doesn't have logic in her head, only punishment. That's it. So she's like, just make sure the kids stay in here. Like, I'm going to be out there protecting y'all. So he, like, rambles his way through, like, the surrounding of the orphanage. Like, if he's going to just, like, he's too trigger happy. Like, he needs to, like, settle down. Like, make sure the next person he shoots is the right
guy. Isn't a priest, but yeah.
No. But no, he's like,
he's on a mission.
He's going around the corner. He's freaking, he's aiming everywhere.
He's Barney Fife in this situation big time. So
he checks everywhere. There's like a furnace room, pretty much.
Like, yeah, it's like it's almost like a cellar or a basement.
Yeah, like a cellar, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he goes down it to check, and he realizes, okay, there's nothing down here. So he finally calms down and relaxes at the worst possible time. Goes up the stairs, and unfortunately, he gets the axe to the chest.
Here's Billy.
Yep, and Billy kills him. And so Billy finally gets to the front door, and Mother Superior, they're singing, you know, Christmas songs to keep the kids from thinking, you know, after they just witnessed Santa's murder. I mean, but one of the kids sees Santa at the door. Like, hey, look, he got back up. This guy is good. Like,
he was Santa.
He was Santa. He just got shot, and now he's alive. So he goes to open the door, and Mother Superior's like, no, but it's too late. Billy's now in the building. And she decides to say, Santa's not real. There's no Santa. And she's like trying to, you know, cover the kids, like get away from Billy. Like, now there's no Santa. Even though you could have told this kid probably 10 years ago that there wasn't a Santa and he would have been fine. Now you decide after he has an axe to you that there's no Santa. And Billy almost comes down with the axe on her. But the chief and Sister Margaret get there on time and kill
Billy. Billy.
They kill Billy. They
kill Bill. Bill. E.
And unfortunately, I'm going to say unfortunately, man, because I was like rooting for Billy to get Mother Superior. I didn't want him to kill the other people, but Mother Superior, she had to go. She just had to, but she doesn't. And he meets his end, and he tells the kids with his last dying breath that it's over. Like, they're safe because Santa's gone now. But with that, Ricky saw the whole thing.
Exactly.
And he looks at Mother Superior, and his final words is punish. And now he is the damaged one.
Exactly. Now the
he gets the torch.
The blessing has been passed down.
The blessing.
The blessing.
And so, yeah, and that leads to a second movie, which is pretty much a recap of the first movie for the first 40 minutes.
40 minutes is a complete recap, and it's just, it's like almost as though you were mentally scarred by the first movie, and so you're going to relive it.
Yeah, the second, you really do not have to watch the second one. It offers...
Oh, you have to watch, okay.
Okay, you have to watch the second half of the second one.
You can skip like the first 40 minutes, don't get me wrong. You can bypass that, because you already saw the first one.
Yeah.
But the ending of the second movie. Because the first two are kind of like, they're on the same theme. They're pretty much, you know, there's so much of the first one in the second one that they are essentially the same movie.
Yeah,
just with a little added feature on the back. Third, fourth, and fifth, because there are five movies in the series, they go on a completely different field. And, you know, we may review those, we may not. But the second one, halfway through, takes a whole turn and just completely...
Yeah, because it's about his brother now, who was locked up. And there's pretty much like a therapist, a shrink pretty much, is trying to get everything out of him, why he killed the people he killed, And he pretty much, like, literally the first 40 minutes is him giving the backstory of Billy.
Yeah, and how basically, like, Ricky committed certain crimes, and that's the reason that obviously he is in the police holding tank.
Yeah, and the acting was not great in this movie. It's very over the top, like...
Oh, it's very dramatic. Yeah. It's extremely dramatic. Yeah.
Pretty much Ricky gets, you know, he has the same thing as Billy, except he's able, he gets adopted to an actual family because they closed down the orphanage and Mother Superior has a stroke and is now stuck in a home somewhere.
But he is like traumatized by all kinds of things. Yeah. Ricky comes out of left field. He has the nunophobia where he is like terrified of the nuns. He sees nuns on the street.
And he gets freaked out. Red, the color red sets him off. That's like the number one. Santa, not really so much. It's more of the color red and nuns.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kills I don't know how he remembers his family's death because he was a baby in the car. But he remembers it and he's, you know, walking in the woods, you know, trying to, you know, because his stepfather had just died or his adopted father had just died. And
he goes for long walks in the woods.
Yeah. And
by himself.
There's a couple there. And the same thing happens to this woman that happens to...
Very, very similar with the Andy situation.
Yeah, he wants to get some. Girl doesn't want to. Well, he's going to get it no matter what. And she kicks him in the nuts. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to get it. I'm going to go grab me a beer first. And he goes to the Jeep.
And of course, she doesn't run. She stays there.
Yeah, she stays there. Yeah. Like, dude, I would have bolted. Like, no, well,
that's what I said. Like, it's almost as though, like, it's strange because you have the powerful women in the movie and then you have the completely helpless women.
Yeah.
Like, women who are not part of the church are just somehow just, oh, you're going to come back and rape me in, like, 5 minutes?
Okay.
I'll be waiting. You go get that beer, Tim. It's like, no.
Take off, dude.
Yeah, just...
So, Ricky... sees that and that sets him off. Now he's in punish mode because he says it really weird and he's like, okay, now it's time to punish this dude. So he hops in the Jeep and when the guy's in the front of the Jeep, he runs him over like 12 times. Yeah. Like he goes back and
forth. He keeps going back and forth. Throw it in reverse, going forward, reverse again. Yeah. Yeah.
Unlike Pamela in the first movie, this girl's like, thank you. And that's it.
And then he just walks away and you're just like, okay. Where's that going to go? Is somebody going to call the police? There's a dead man under a Jeep in the middle of the woods. But, you know.
And she's just like, thank you for killing the man who I was waiting for to rape me back there. But thank you. At least she was a little more appreciative. I will give to that.
You the caliber of acting that we're going to have in part two.
And so that happens. And he's pretty much... By the way, these are all just... like retelling of what happened to him. He's still in locked up.
Yeah, it's all flashbacks and he's just reliving it from inside of this interrogation cell.
And then another good kill scene, he's working in a kitchen, goes to throw out the trash and there's like a
loan shark,
you know, trying to get his money back and he beats up on this dude. When he's walking back, he runs into Ricky and Ricky punishes him and grabs an umbrella that's conveniently in the trash can
cuz it's broken.
Oh, yeah.
It was broken.
And so, he shoves it through him.
Oh, yeah. And then it opens it up. It
opens on the other side. Yeah. It's a pretty good kill scene.
And one thing that my wife noticed, which was really great, is she's like, it looks like the Umbrella Corporation.
Yes,
I'm like, yeah, it totally does. It looks like the umbrella from the Umbrella Corporation.
Yeah, but the umbrella also has red and white. Yeah, it's red and white. So red is the key because the guy he kills has a red shirt. And then the umbrella is red and
white.
Absolutely.
So it's all opened up, and there's like some kind of like twilight glitter blood on there because it like shines.
It's all triggers for him, man.
Yeah.
So he explains that, and the dude who's interviewing him is like, oh, shoot. Like, for some reason, I have a handkerchief that has a red B on it. I can't let him see it. So he wipes his sweat off because now he's nervous because he's admitting that he has killed these people. And finally, he pulls out the picture of his girlfriend. And that's when he finally is like, oh, that's the only girl I ever cared about. The only thing I ever cared about.
Yeah, the only person I ever cared about.
Not the family that took me in and decided to deal with the BS that I was bringing.
Not the other kids at the orphanage because we don't form bonds.
Just this girl right here.
Yeah.
And he makes a comment that, you know, that was his first, but she wasn't his, or, you know, he wasn't hers.
And he thought that he was her first.
But he was
wrong.
And
then it goes into the love tale. And the love tale is just, I mean, it's, you know.
He's dressed up as Fonzie. And
Shakespeare had nothing on this tale. This is just, it's, you know.
He's dressed up as Fonzie on his bike, and he backs up, and she comes out of nowhere, and she rear-ends him, but he falls very dramatically.
Yeah, he actually, the car hits him, and then he sits there for like 30 seconds, and then he falls over. And then she gets out, and just like, rather than being like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like you would expect.
She just smiles at
him. She just clowns him like, oh, you fell down, dum-dum, or something. And he's just like,
I could have ran you over and committed vehicular manslaughter, but instead I'm going to laugh at you and make fun of you. Because it's your fault.
Yeah, but that's how love starts.
That's how love starts, man. That's how it is.
So they go on a nice, long motorcycle ride.
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously it commences at his place. And, you know, unlike the first one, you know, this one definitely gets into a lot of back nudity.
Yeah.
And not like a 45-minute shot of some dude's butt. It's a chick's butt from the side. And he like, it's strange because like both times they're like in the throes of passion and he's like moving his hands down her back. And then right as he gets to like where her proboscis rises, he stops. Like there's like, you know, there's like,
there's a force.
There's a naughty guard, right? Mother Superior's like keeping him from the booty cheeks. I don't know. I didn't understand it.
Yeah, Mother Superior's still back of his head.
She is. She's right point, there.
Man. So yeah, they're in love and they're at the movies now. And they're watching what is pretty much the first...
The acting out of what the $33 guy, the Santa who killed his parents, was doing that night.
In the first movie, yeah. So they're watching this movie, and there's this guy in the back of the theater of this... there's only like six people in this theater, and he's like making fun, like just being annoying, pretty much. And, you know, Ricky turns around, gives him the look, and he's like, you know... What are you looking at or whatever? And again, these accents that don't belong where they're supposed to be, but he's like pretty much dogging on Ricky and, you know, they were going to make out and the dude's like making fun of him. And
so Ricky has to excuse himself.
Yeah, he has to excuse himself.
And of course, the moment that Ricky excuses himself, here's how you find out that obviously Ricky wasn't her first. Some frosted tip like... It looked like Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Michael Hall had some kind of love child.
It was like a Flock of Seagulls reject.
Yeah, it's some dude in like this like jacket with like shoulder pads and like a curl hawk like shows up and he's all, you know, hey, baby, why haven't you called me? Da, 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 and just trying to spit some kind of game at him.
Like he was the best she's ever had.
Yeah, and you know, alluding to this whimsical relationship that they had at one point.
Yeah, like she's going to go back to him at one point. So he has another side piece.
Yeah, the girl he's currently with is standing on the side and, you know.
It's like, hey, babe, hurry up. Like, when you're done flirting with her, we got to go.
Yeah.
You know.
Aren't we going to eat sushi?
Yeah.
And so, like
yeah,
but in, you know, in the back, you know, Ricky's taking care of business.
Yeah, he's
so
murdering
Mr. Annoying, who had a friend sitting with him the whole time. Now, Mr. Annoying goes to, you know, get his accolades from his little imp that sits next to him. And he goes to get it, and bam, he runs right into Ricky's hurling chest.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man. And then, of course, like, you don't see anything, but the guy goes down on the ground, and there's a leg.
Yeah, and he pretty much is murdering him.
It's kind of, you know, alludes to the fact that he's being murdered. Then flashback to his lady fair.
Yes.
She's still being assaulted by, you know, the ex-suitor. And so he decides he's going to leave because he gets enough of the eye treatment from his current squeeze.
Yeah.
So he leaves. And then she turns to the left. And lo and behold, there's Ricky. And she's like, oh, there you are.
He says, let's get out of here. He's like, no, I'm enjoying this
like,
film.
Now I'm enjoying this movie. And
yeah, he's like talking. Like, that's how bad it is.
Yeah,
like,
that's literally how he talks.
Yeah.
So
now they're on a walk.
Yeah, talking about, you know, their plans for the day.
Yeah.
And he's going to take her on a ride to a place where he's never taken anyone.
Yeah, which is probably the place where he killed the dude. And
either that or it's, you know, back to the orphanage. He's never taken anybody to the orphanage.
This lady has shown me a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
Mother Superior.
My brother saw this nun in a room with a handyman and he got ass whipped with a belt. We ain't getting whipped there, sugar cakes. And so, yeah. So, started walking down the street. And lo and behold, she didn't know, even though the guy at the movie theater clearly said, I'm going to be at home all summer.
Yeah.
So they decide on this walk that they're going to walk past his house.
And he's charging his battery.
He's charging his Mustang battery with the charger.
Yeah. And with his old chargers.
Big old chargers. And it literally says on the front, charger. Just in case you didn't know what it was.
And now he starts hounding them. And he's like, oh, you know, if I would have known you stooped this low, which... Ricky's actually a handsome dude.
He's very fit.
And this dude is like has a Letterman jacket on.
Yeah.
I don't know what he lettered in, but he's like really scrawny.
Origami. Origami, definitely.
He's like really scrawny and he's like, oh, you know.
But he commits the sin. He tells
Ricky that he was plowing her. Yeah.
He had sex with her. Dirty, stinky sex in the back of his Red.
The naughtiest
car. And Ricky just loses.
Yeah.
He takes the guy and he puts him down on the head of the engine and he takes the jumper cables off of
the positive.
And burns his face up, like puts it in his mouth. Because the guy leaves his mouth open the whole time.
For some reason, clamps it on his tongue, blows out his eyeballs.
Yeah. Once the eyeballs are blown out, the charger ceases to work.
Yeah, and it stopped working. But again, man, missed opportunity for a one-liner.
Yeah.
You're grounded. Oh, dude. See, it would have been good. Yeah. It would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Or it's all right, though.
How shocking. Because you know there's a one-liner coming.
But instead, she gets mad at him. Like,
yeah,
why
does
did you kill
exactly
him?
Like the first, you know. Why did you kill him?
Yeah.
Why did you do it? Well, at that point.
I hate you, Ricky. I hate you. Yeah.
I never want to see you again. To which he... And I've never seen, like, we had antennas on our cars like that in the 80s. I've never seen them bend up like that. Like, literally,
they had
a lot of flex to them. But he takes the antenna off, and he strangles her to death.
Like a coat hanger, like if it was a coat hanger.
Yeah.
And, he strangles
her
to death.
He turns it into something like half-witted garrote and just takes care of business.
Yeah.
And now she's dead.
And, unfortunately, there's a security cop there.
Oh, yeah, because it's got to be an HOA.
Yeah.
So a security cop comes up with his curly hair and his hat tipped to the side.
Well, like he just came from.
And looks like he just came from, you know, his audition for, you know, Barney Fife, Man About Action. And he comes up and he's like, what are you doing? And then he pulls out his gun. He's like, I know how to use this. Well, obviously,
Ricky
grabs the gun and, you know, probably... Beautiful kill shot.
Again, the effects are great, man.
Effect. Bam, bullet goes in, like 6 or 7 drops of blood come out, and boom, the guy falls down.
Yeah, good effects, man. It was great stuff. It just the acting, it wasn't there. It just wasn't there.
No, the acting was very subpar. Yeah. So then he starts, you know, he's on a killing spree now. So
he kills the neighbor.
He kills the neighbor, and then he turns to another neighbor, and this guy's taking out the trash, and...
Probably one of the most quotable lines in this movie.
Literally, what the second part was coined was garbage day. Because he maniacally looks at the guy and goes, garbage day! And shoots him.
Through the trash can.
I mean, it's a powerful gun.
Oh, man. It's a good line, though. It's like the,
it is.
That's like my favorite part of the whole movie. And then after that, it just...
After that, it's, you know, it's a couple more killings.
He shoots a car that blows up.
He shoots a car that flips over and then bursts into flames for no reason at all. Yeah. Then the police go to catch him. And this is how he got arrested. He comes to the idea that I can kill myself.
Yeah.
So he goes and he puts the gun to his head. And he goes to pull the trigger. And they're like, no, you have so much to live for.
Like, you just killed these 6 people. Yeah, you're going to go to prison, but you have so much to live for.
And he goes and he pulls the trigger, and lo and behold, he's out of bullets.
Yeah, because it was a 6-shooter, and he killed 6 people.
Well,
No, he killed 4 people.
Yeah, he killed 4 people and 1 car.
Yeah, 2 of them went into the car.
Exactly. 2 went into that Chevette or whatever the hell it was.
And so... But while he was doing this, I guess he had a breakdown while he was telling the story, and he killed the interviewer. And so now he's loose. For some reason, nobody in this prison or whatever he's asylum stops him. And so now he's out, and he's going after Mother Superior. Because, you know, she's had a stroke. She's wheelchair bound. She's staying in this in her house.
And he knows exactly where she's at. It's, yeah. Mother Superiors are easy to find. You look in the phone book under Mother. Second word, Superior.
It's right above Inferior. Exactly.
Yeah.
So he goes after her. And he kills a Santa that was taking donations for the orphanage.
Basically a...
it would be like the Salvation Army.
Yeah, like the Salvation Army, bell ringer Santa guy.
Yeah. And so he takes her out. He calls Mother Superior and says, you know, Santa's back, and hangs up the phone. Mother Superior doesn't really care. She just hangs up the phone and is like, oh, let me see what the parade is doing.
Yeah, because there's the annual Christmas parade.
Yes. And she gets mad because it's heathenistic. It's, you know, they
lost the meaning. They're making fun of the sacraments, and, you know, there's kids outside playing, and, you know.
They should be in bed, and she... Now, mind you, Mother Superior, it's not the same actress. But she's wheelchair bound, like in the first movie, at the end of the first movie.
And
but
one thing you'll notice about Mother Superior is, beyond the fact that she's not the same actress, is that she had a stroke, but she looks like a 4th of July hot dog. Like half of her face looks like it's just been laying on the grill for a while. So dude, it's all like bubbly.
But it doesn't make sense. Like it looks like she has like.
Yeah, it's not paralysis from a stroke.
She
it's
has like welts on her face. Yeah. And,
it and, looks, it's, and they're black. It looks like the skin has been like burned off of her face.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, what happened to her? Like, it looks like she has herpes on her face, like giant herpes on her face. Like, she had a stroke, and then she fell down into Charlie Sheen's lap.
That's what happens. Tiger's blood.
but, yeah, so he's going after her now. He breaks through the door. And, by the way, she lives, you know, the house, her number is 666 on the door.
Yeah.
So.
Like it is, I mean.
Like it is, yeah.
Where do you put Mother Superior when she retires?
You put her in 666.
Absolutely.
Dude, first of all, she was beating all those kids. I think a stroke is probably...
But do you think that maybe perhaps that is God's way of getting back at her? Okay, because first of all, okay, she has the stroke. So then she's wheelchair bound. Then they put the house number as 666.
Yeah.
Then they put her busted ass in a second story house when she's wheelchair bound.
Yes.
Think about it. Like,
yeah, she's getting punished big time. And then Ricky comes after her because she treated Billy so bad. You know, because she really did. In the first movie, towards the end, she's like, oh, he's such a good boy. Ricky, talking about Ricky.
Yeah.
He's such a good boy, unlike his brother. I'm like, well, you're the one who caused it. Like,
you're the one who made the monster. Yeah.
So now Ricky's after her, and he chases her through the house. She's in the upstairs. She's ready upstairs.
And, of course, the sister, once again, just like the first one, the sister and the police are on the scene.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, they're there to handle business.
So they're just chasing, even though he could have caught up to her in, like, 5 seconds. Maybe less. It's a whole chase scene through the house. And finally, she works up the courage to grab a knife. And she gets thrown downstairs and gets in her wheelchair from downstairs. And finally, she grabs a knife. And she's like, I'm not afraid of you, Ricky. Like, face me, pretty much. Yeah. Like. So they have like a back and forth. And she's like, I'm your Mother Superior. I demand you to put the axe down and whatever, behave and accept your punishment pretty much. And he, obviously he wields the axe and he kills her, chops her head off. And when, Sister Margaret and, which I don't know how Sister Margaret isn't Mother Superior now. Like, I think
she doesn't happen that way. It's not the, you know,
I don't know how it works.
The Catholic
really
Church outsources. Like if you used to work for First Lutheran, then you have seniority, even though you've been working as a nun under that evil scuzz lord for like 40 years, you do not get an automatic promotion.
Oh, so yeah, you have to be like there's like a certain amount of
they kids have you the have to be. They have the quarterly nun appreciation day.
There's a certain amount of like kids you have to beat and traumatize.
Exactly. She wasn't built for it, man. She was always trying to help the kids.
Yeah, you know
who the hell wants that?
Yeah, exactly. we're not. They're not trying to help these kids. We got to traumatize them.
Exactly.
You got to mold them or force them into being what you want them to be.
Who's going to work at Ira's Toy Store if I'm not mean to all these kids, okay?
Exactly. So, yes, the sister Margaret finds Mother Superior. She's just sitting there, and when she taps her on the shoulder, her head falls off. And Ricky comes out of nowhere, and they just light him up. He was going to swing on Sister Margaret, even though Sister Margaret was the only one that helped him, except for that helped his brother and helped Ricky find a family. But
yeah,
he was in a,
you forget that kind of stuff. I mean, when the blind rage takes over and your chick's been, you know, tapping the lead singer of Aha, you just, you handle business. You gotta stand on your principles, man.
Yeah, so they light him up, and he goes down. And Sister Margaret, you know, she passes out from it. And when they wake her up, she's next to the head of Mother Superior.
Yeah, she's looking at the burned hot dog relic of a face.
And she screams, and that wakes Ricky back up, ending the movie. So he's not dead. He's just, you know.
Just taking a nap.
He's just taking a nap. Yeah. Like, you know, you get lit up with, you know, a 22 and a shotgun.
Things happen.
That's the end of the second one. 3, 4, or 5, they no longer take the story of Billy and Ricky.
Yeah,
technically,
Three does.
But it's not as bad as the second one, that's for sure.
No, it definitely, like, the three took, well, 3, 4, and 5 got better funding.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, they didn't have, I mean, when you look back at the first one, like, I mean, just doing the study for this, you know, you look back at what happened to the first one. I mean, that movie was persecuted.
Yeah, that one was.
I mean, they didn't have a lot of money to make part two because, I mean, even the director who made the first one, he, like, caught so much backlash over this movie, he just became a producer.
Yeah.
He stepped out of directing. He didn't direct anything after this. He just became a producer because this moral agenda that they went on and just attacked it. I mean,
yeah.
The movie was only in theaters for 2 weeks. When it went to VHS, they actually delayed it a full year.
Yeah, before it could be released to video. And then even at that,
that just killed the profits. That stole all the money. I don't know how, because like in the later movies, I mean, you have, you know, segues and overlapping voice acting parts by Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill Moseley's in the third one.
Yeah.
Like they got funding from somewhere. But the first, like the first one and the second one.
Well, yeah. Which is funny is Mickey Rooney in, was it the fifth one? I believe that he's in. So he obviously, the first and second one he hated. He didn't want any part of it. So they called the fifth one. I think it was like, oh man, it was like some weird name. It wasn't like Sleigh Ride, the first one was called. But pretty much, like, he wasn't going to be in it if they called it Silent Night, Deadly Night. So they called it something else. And that's how they got him to act in it.
Yeah, he didn't.
Oh, really. The Toymaker. It was the Toymaker. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Dude, it's literally the title of Silent Night, Deadly Night, The Toymaker. That's what they called it, Toymaker. And then, because he wouldn't have been a part of it if he knew that it was Silent Night.
Well, everyone distanced themselves from it. The original Mother Superior.
Yeah.
Lillian Chavin.
Well, but she had a good point. She thought it should have been about Billy's mental illness.
Yeah.
Like, it should have really
been touched about that, and everybody focused on the whole.
But it's also a slasher, too. It's not a.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like one of those psychological thrillers.
It's a horror movie on top of that. It's not, you know. I mean, but I think that, you know, the original one, they released it in predominantly Catholic markets in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I think they really expected to get more guff about it being sacrilegious as opposed to Santa. Yeah. And I mean, nuns having sex, Mother Superior being like a right, proper, evil person.
Yeah.
All that just totally
them
went by the wayside.
Killing a priest.
Yeah, them killing a priest. That's all, you know.
But Santa, even though Santa's not even part of the Catholic
religion. No, that just, you know, the, what was that organization called? Something. Citizens Against Movie Madness.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
CAM.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, the way that it just got persecuted. Siskel and Ebert, Phil Donahue, who was really big back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people who are younger don't know who Phil Donahue is, but he did a talk show. And it was like, he was like competing with Oprah.
And Oprah, he had a whole hour,
Oprah,
right?
And Donahue. Absolutely. He had a whole hour. He did a whole, an entire episode on this movie. Siskel and Ebert went and put this movie on blast. And they kind of always were kind of particular about slasher films. They always kind of were fickle about it. But they went through and tried to destroy this movie. I mean, the fact that this movie still exists, it like really surprises me because so many movies did fall into obscurity.
Well, here's the thing. It's like you can't find it anywhere. It's free on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, oh, YouTube has like free with ads. Like, no, like somebody had to be like, hey, look, I own this movie, so here you go.
Yeah, it's yours to watch.
Yeah, like you watch it and you can watch it in its entirety. Like it's not like bootlegged. It's not like re-edited. It's not nothing like that. It's like literally the movie in its entirety. On YouTube, like, you know, sometimes you see bootleg movies on YouTube or like they have to flip the, you know, the view so, it, you know, they can legally put it on YouTube or whatever, or different subtitles, whatever. No, this is like the actual movie on YouTube posted by somebody who probably either owns the
worked
rights
on it
or
yeah,
worked on it
bought
or whatever.
The rights after the fact. Yeah. So.
But yeah, that was Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 and 2. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Well, I had fun.
Oh yeah,
recording it.
I mean, it was, you know,
it was, dude. There's so much
want,
in these.
If you want a good laugh, I mean, it's a good movie. The first one, second one, if you just want a, like a little lighthearted chuckle,
skip the first 40 minutes though.
Yeah, you know, you can basically sit there and make popcorn, cook dinner while that one plays. Yeah. Then come in when you hear Garbage Day. Report to deck. Like that's it's on. Once you hear Garbage Day, then you know. Or just the like, you know, the over theatric voice over.
Yeah, there's a lot of
There's a lot of that sounds exactly like what I just did. It just is, you know. I mean, I give the guy credit, you know.
Oh yeah, there could have been a lot of things that affected it. The writing, anything like that.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, thank y'all so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at podcastpetrified24. And yeah, we will see you next week. And remember, punishment is necessary.
Absolutely.
See ya.